beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Lost but found. Praise God. Why is that pushing you? Hallelujah. Can we talk to God and ask the Lord to help us, to help our hearts? We need God to help our hearts. It's not easy to trust God. Conditions. When you see conditions, your heart can shift. Can you ask God, Lord, strengthen my heart. You know my weakness. When I pass through the valley of the shadow, let my heart trust. Help my heart to trust. Strengthen my heart to trust. Help my heart to trust you. That man said to Jesus, say, help my unbelief. Say, help my unbelief. If God does not help, the psalmist said, where will my help come from? Where will my help come from? It will not come from men. It will not come from the hills. Help me to be able to look up to God. Help me to be able to stay and not move until I see the salvation from Zion. Father, we thank you. I ask that, Lord, that even today our hearts will be encouraged. I ask that today our hearts will be strengthened. I ask that today that we will be established in grace in the name of Jesus. That it will not be a thing said that we pass through Zion, but it will be said that we were members of Zion that stayed, that will be counted amongst those who by faith laid hold upon promises in the name of Jesus. We give you praise this morning. We commit this meeting, this message, this ministration to your hands. I'm asking that there will be an open heaven. I'm asking, Lord, that the word of God will come in a powerful way that will break through satanic oppositions and get through to the heart and communicate your word and the meanings thereof, and cause our hearts to abide and to agree with it. Let your angels minister to those who are heirs of salvation. In the name of Jesus. Help me, O Lord. Give me the tongue like that of the pen of the ready writer, that I might scribble the eternal word and covenant upon the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. I give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. I greet all the pastors. I greet you all. Thank you for being there. All the partners in the house, I appreciate you for make the work very easy. Amen. I'm seeing some new faces. They are new because I've not seen them since pandemic. Praise God. Bro John, beloved, I notice you. It's nice to see you. Shoboge is good. Praise God. Amen. I want to speak about the parable of the kingdom. One of the parables of the kingdom. And address something very important that I believe God is drawing my heart that I ought to speak about. It's not every time we talk big, big revelation and big, big grammar.
Hallelujah.
One of my daughters came and said, Daddy, say I'm tired of all these big revelations. Say I don't understand them. Say, but we thought you understood those big revelations. Praise God. How many of you know, or remember, have you heard the message about the left hand of God? You've not heard it? Maybe Pastor Odele will preach it one day. Praise God. Pastor Odele, you're the one that has the revelation. Amen. Sometimes there are some preachings that really don't make any sense. What do I want to do with the left hand of God? Or the left foot of God? Or the Maradonic side of God? Glory to God. You are not catching the joke. It is well with you anyway. Matthew 22, I beg your pardon. Verses 1 to 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage, to the wedding, I beg your pardon, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their own ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and set forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. May you be found worthy in Jesus' name. Certain people were not found worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out unto the highways, and gathered together all as many as they might find, or as many as they found, both bad, please pay attention, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man. Everybody say a man. My emphasis this morning is about the man. Praise God. There was a man whose name was John. Praise God. You remember that story? In John, the Gospel of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man. There was a man in this story. And the Bible says that man had not on a what? What did he not have? He didn't have a wedding garment. Remember that the command of the king was very, very urgent. He said, Go. I've killed all the oxen. I've killed the fatlings. I've killed everything. The tables are ready. How many of you have been to a reception? Well-furnished reception. Not the one that you sit at the back and all the people in front are finished eating. And I still believe in God, they'll come and meet you. Sure, you understand that kind of... Amen. You have been there before. Praise God. But how do you imagine that while you are entering, you are seeing all the food waiting for you with your number, everything, and there's a servant that has your number. It's not that he's serving the table. His job is to serve you. Praise God. The tally on his shoulder, right, Pastor Shea, you're saying, praise God. He's only attending to me. So I can tell him, I want all kinds. Everything is furnished. The store is there. Freezer, everything is there. Praise God. This is the original Alujono. Amen. The Bible says, and they called in both good and bad. Both good and bad. But when the king came in, they went into the highways and gathered, well, you have given me, just let me read it all the same.
as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, if this is where the story ended, we would have said that God is interested in population, populating heaven. Praise the Lord. Because the parable of the kingdom. But it did not end there. Look at the next verse level. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12. And he said unto him, friend, how come thou in ether not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. May that not be your story. I'm sharing this morning so that we will not get across the border and stand before God and we'll be speechless. I can tell you up front, people will stand before God and they will be speechless. He asked him, how did you come in? How did you get here and you are seated comfortably? And you did not look around and say that your clothing and the rest is different. How come? What is your explanation? What will you tell the king on that day? When they will look at your clothing and they will look at others, you don't have a wedding dress on. You are not prepared for the wedding. You just get crushed. The Bible says, and the man was speechless. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him head and foot. Not even, when police arrest you, what do they bind? Your hands. This one, they say, bind both the hands, the legs, even his head, you can join the head. Praise God. And what should you do to him? Cast him away. And cast him into where? Outer darkness. And there shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14 said, for many were what? Are called, but few chosen. I don't know what I should title this, but I'll leave that one for the media to sort themselves out with. Praise God. So many titles. You can give it. Why? Now, there are different characters in this story. Number one is the king. Number two is servants. Number three, the original guests that were invited. Praise the Lord. Number four, the ones that were not on the list of invitees, but they were brought in by all kinds of ways and means. Praise God. In this parable, Jesus was preaching a message to the Jews. You were the original invitees, but for what and the way it was going to play out, you were going to reject the invitation. Praise God. Then they will now send out his servants, go and bring those who were not supposed to have come to this wedding. Go and compel them. I think this is Luke said, go and compel. Praise God. People were going on their own, were going about their business. They would say, young man, what are you doing? I'm going to my farm. My friend, the king wants you. Where I go? I have not dressed. That's not your business. Enter car. They were compelling people by force, by fire, to come. Praise the Lord. But do you assume that the people they went to meet on the highways will have wedding dresses on? I'm answering your question now. They didn't have wedding dresses on. Remember that Adam, when he heard God, before he heard God, he had already, only God knows the wisdom he had, to make a clothing from leaves. How did he sew it? Only God knows. Maybe if I see him, I will ask him, how were you able to think about that? Came up with a solution very fast. And it did not break off. At least for that time, until God came around. Praise the Lord. So that one required work. He had to solve it in his head. He had to provide it for himself. That was him walking his own righteousness. What was right in his own sight. Praise God. So if that was the case, where did they get the wedding garments from? Who gave them? Praise God. We can only assume, because we don't have enough information. We can only assume that as they were coming in, the servants of the king was giving each man and each woman their wedding garment. Praise the Lord. So that was why the king to ask, how did you come in without a wedding garment? How did you pass through the security? How was it possible for you to judge Brother John and dodge Brother Blessing, and they didn't give you a wedding garment? How? Who knows? He could have passed through the window. Do you understand me? He could have come through the kitchen. Praise God. And entered the something. Or he could have even come with the servants who were serving. But somehow, he found himself in the banquet hall, seated and already eating. Only God knows what they gave them. But I want to imagine it to have been jollof rice that has 7 lives. You have not eaten jollof rice before. If you eat jollof rice, you will bless God. Praises will come out of your stomach. Praise God. I can imagine it. The way I'm talking, I'm just seeing that rice right now. Hallelujah. So mommy, I want to eat that rice that I can see. Praise God. He was already enjoying his food. He was already comfortable. He had blended in with the crowd. And everybody felt it was part of the wedding. Praise God. But the king recognized. And what was the methodology of recognition? The dressing. Amen. The what? The dressing was the problem. He had the wrong dressing on. Amen. Now, this is a story of salvation. This is a simple story of how a man or a woman will be qualified or will be disqualified. Praise God. Many people are in the churches today who are seated there and their wedding garments are not with them. They don't have wedding garments on. They are members of the churches. They attend services. They go through the normal protocols that when we list the members of our churches, their names will be on the roll call. But I can tell you one thing. When you sit before the king, they will recognize you because your garments are not right. You are wearing the wrong garments. Amen. You may ask, Pastor, what are you talking about? In John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8, Jesus was speaking. He said, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So if you are going to come in through the gate, because he said, I'm the door to the sheepfold, right? Said anyone that comes through the window is a what? Is a thief. So if you are going to come into the kingdom via any other means apart from being born again, you are going to be having a wrong garment on. Am I communicating? You'll be having what? The wrong garments. Because the garment they ought to give you at the gate, at the point of conversion, nobody will be there to give it to you. So in the realm of the spirit, when you are congregating with the people of God, they can easily pick you out that this is not a member of the marriage committee. Praise God. Or the marriage guests. Because your garment is wrong. And so, people must not assume. We cannot assume that everything is cool. Now look at Revelation chapter 7. Let's pick the thoughts from verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, of people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. What were they clothed with? What were they clothed with? Who gave them? Where did they get the white robes from? At the point of you giving your life to Jesus, automatically you must be clothed with what? White robes. Amen. And there is one in the Bible. Once you have, when you wear this white robe, you are required to be careful not to stain the white clothes. Amen. Because the Bible calls it, that white cloth is the righteousness of who? Of the saints. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Because they have put their faith in God. Praise God. So what am I saying this morning? It's very simple. Are you in church? Did you come through the right path? Did you come into the kingdom the right way? Look, you can argue with me. That does not matter. What is important to God is whether you have the right clothing on or you have the wrong clothing on. If you have the wrong clothing on, your soul will be damned. So this morning I want to ask you, how did you come into the kingdom? How were you introduced? Some of you like religion. Some of you, somehow from when you were young, you just have an affinity for God. You just love God. But the truth be said, you've never been born again. And I always ask people, are you going to gamble with your soul? Is it worth the gamble? Amen. Many years I told my brother, you know, was very influential in my life, played a very, very serious role in my life. And he introduced me to this Eastern religion. What they call this? Reincarnation and all that. And one day, I haven't learned about the law of thermodynamics. I don't know whether you know the law. I don't know, is it the first or second law of thermodynamics? So there's this one that says that kidney cannot be created. Matter. But I also speak about system and canon circle and all that. Praise God. And I told my brother, if reincarnation is real, by the law of thermodynamics, human population should be static. Sabi? Theoretically speaking, it should be static. What goes out? If 20 people die, amen, all the goats should not be increasing. Praise God. Out of 10 people that die, at least 10, 5 should come back. Amen. And then we should have 15 more goats. I don't know whether we are following the joke. But somehow the number of goats are increasing. And number of human beings are increasing. So where are they coming from? That can only mean one thing. Somebody is creating it. It's called the Creator. Amen. And there is a day appointed for all men to go and face him again. So I threw away that stupid philosophy. I said, this is not going to help me. And he was angry with me. And I said, well, if I cross into eternity and I find out that you are correct, I've not lost anything. Praise God. Because I've been good. Therefore, I will not come back as a goat. At least I'll come back as a human being. But if I find out that you are wrong, there won't be tied all the people that followed you. Praise God. Are you still with me, church? And I saw a great multitude. The Bible says they were clothed. Everybody say clothed. What are you clothed with? What are you clothed with? If you are not clothed with the right clothing, then you are none of his. Hallelujah. So the Bible makes it clear to us that the kingdom of God will require the king himself bringing you in and the king himself clothing you himself. Otherwise, it is going to be the king himself that will judge you. Excuse me. And I've said it that the only way the king can change your clothing is for you to be born again. And if you are not genuinely born again, olewu. What's the English of olewu? Eh? Is that dangerous as powerful as olewu? It's not as powerful. It's dangerous to take that risk. And so, shouldn't you sit down one day and take account and ask yourself, how did you find yourself in this path? How were you born again? Like I said, some of us join church. Some of us are talented. Some of us, for one reason or the other, you just found yourself, hallelujah, in church, and they give you a microphone, and you are singing, and you are doing all kinds of things, activities. You know what I've come to realize? Most of the problem we have in the churches today, those servants, those people that we call men of God, were never born again. Early believer, but born again. There's one person I know. You know the person I know. Up to today, he never told us a salvation story. How did she come to church? She used to be a fighter. She used to wear shorts. She would wear shorts and wear a skirt. When there's time to fight, you remove her skirt, you see shorts. So one day, I think the pastor said, "Oh, you are good in English. You are good in Yoruba. I need an interpreter." That's how he entered church and began to interpret. And before you knew it, oh, the minister of God, oh, took me a microphone. But then you were born again. One minister of God came that day and was doing deliverance. I didn't tell you anything. Praise God. Unbelievers can handle microphone and still go to hell. You can preach. Anybody can preach. It's not a big deal. You can even have fake tongues. Praise God. Because one thing I know, that if you are a fake believer, you won't get an original Holy Ghost. You have to fake everything till you fake it to the end. And you know, you will have fake salvation, you have fake Holy Ghost, you have fake miracles. What else will be fake? Your message will be fake. Somebody said, "Come and take the anointing for virginity for your daughter." I said, "Sure." They give anointing for virginity. You will pray fake message. God have mercy on us. Where am I? So if you don't enter properly, say if you don't come in through the door, through the right way, say you are a thief, and they will treat you as one. Look at, praise God. So how, you'll ask me, how are you supposed to be born again? Do you remember the story of Peter's first message in Acts of the Apostles? The Bible says Peter, having preached the gospel, made a demand. He said, "Turn away from this untoward generation." That was a demand. And they said, "What must we do to be saved?" I want to ask, when you said you were born again, what message did you hear? What gospel did you hear? Because there is no way you can get born again except a gospel was preached. Amen. That's the methodology you must hear. Praise God. Now, it doesn't mean that the day you heard or where you heard it is the day you made a decision. But wherever you made a decision, there must be a response to the message you heard. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by what? By hearing. Let us look at this scripture. Praise God. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. "Or who shall descend from the depth?" That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. "But what seeth thee? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which what? We preach. That if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The next verse. "For with the heart a man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We are preaching the gospel. Paul said that, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ, I beg your pardon, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Listen to me. From the day God was God and is still God, he has demonstrated terrible powers. But when it came to salvation, there was no other power that God could demonstrate. The only power that God had for salvation was the preaching of Christ. Amen. For the salvation of men, it's not philosophy that will get you saved. It's the gospel of Christ. And what does that constitute? That for your sakes, Christ was the lamp of God. Amen. Did John not say, he said, behold the lamp of God. That what does it do? That taketh away the sins of the world. If you cannot see him, and if you will not accept that truth, that a price was paid for you. But number one, before we even accept, do you even agree that you are a sinner? Did you agree with the testimony that God had? That all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. If you have not been convicted of your sins before, listen to me, you don't understand. It's not whether you were bad or you were good. Some of us were nice. We were not bad sinners. We were sinners, but we were not very bad sinners. Praise God. You are not praising God with me. Maybe you were a badder sinner than I. Praise God. I was not a very bad sinner. I was a good sinner. I was not fornicating. I was not telling lies. Praise God. What else was I not doing that all of you did? No, that was when I was... Praise God. Abraham did not steal from the pot. He didn't say your mother's... You are holy. I thought your hand was going up. Okay, mercy. You are holy. God bless you. You are not a very bad sinner like me. Praise God. But you must be convicted. You must agree with God's testimony that you are horrible and that you are a sinner. Praise God. And that you need a savior. That is a process of salvation. If you didn't go through those processes, something is difficult somewhere. Maybe your own birth was cesarean operation. Amen. You were born out of due time. Or they use a different method. Maybe you were born in the incubator. They took something and did it inside the brayu and brought you out. You were not in a mother's womb. You must hear the gospel. You must hear the offer. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner and receive it. Consciously, you must make a declaration. He said what? Go back to where we read. Romans. For with the heart, what does man believe? What? What righteousness? That this righteousness is not dependent upon work. It's dependent upon the lamp. The sacrifice of the lamp. He must believe it. That is sufficient. When I got born again, I did not grow taller. I didn't grow lighter in complexion. I don't know whether you understand me. None of those actual things happened to me. By faith, I accepted that what was testified about Jesus was good enough for me. That's why I received him. I used my mouth. And he said, and what? With the mouth, confession is what? What did I confess? If you don't, of course you can believe in your heart, but if there was no confession, the process is aborted. Amen. It's a joint ticket. The belief and the confession must go together. Now, you can confess and not believe. We will add it to the church, nevertheless. Amen. We will add it to the church. Praise God. You will become our greatest football player in church when we have a football team. But listen to me. You will not have the right wedding garments. You will not have it. It's the process. You must believe it. You must believe the testimony of God that you are a sinner. And that what God has given as a provision, just like he made a provision for Adam by making the first clothing, Adam needed to receive what God gave him. Hallelujah. If he didn't receive it, he would have remained a naked man. You must receive what was given to you. And the Bible says, you will believe it, and you will do what? Confess. And confess the Lord. He said, with confession, with the mouth confession is made, there must be a confession. Lord, I'm a sinner. have mercy. I receive Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord. He said, thou shalt be saved. Just like that. Just like that. Nothing difficult. It looks simple, Abby. Paul wrote, I was wondering, is it the Galatians? Said, let the spoiler after the door because of the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. You look at it, it's too simple. Can't they make it more complicated? People have made the salvation matter very complicated. And they've lost the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul 1 was talking to the Colossians, as you have received him, continue also. Following Jesus is simple. Christianity is simple. But men have complicated it. Don't let your life be complicated. It's very simple. And that is the basis of the Christian faith. It's a belief and a confession. A belief and a confession. A belief and a confession. Hallelujah. But when you don't believe, but you confess, funnily, you will be like Amaziah the king, who did what was right in God's eyes, but not with what? A perfect eye. You will not be perfect. Somewhere, there will be no strength to continue in that path. You will not make it. May the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. You must have heard the gospel. They must have told you about the promise. You must have received it. Look at Leviticus 1:4 to explain this principle. I want to explain this principle. Leviticus 1:4. Praise the Lord. How many minutes have I left? I'll round up in the next 10 minutes. Even if you don't give me time. I'll give him myself time. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the what? Of the burnt offering. That was what the high priest did to the lamb that was sacrificed. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. It was just sufficient that when you bring your lamb for the sacrifice and you put your hand, you were basically transferring all the sins you committed on that guy. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. That lamb was to take your place. So every time you make a confession of your belief and faith in Jesus, you acknowledge that it took your place. Praise God. Listen to me. I know from experience, the more you grow in the faith, the more it looks as if that thing is kindergarten. I know it. It was a big deal. There was a time people would look at that salvation thing and say, what's the big deal? They would do despite to the spirit of grace. May we not come to that place in Jesus' name. I always travel back in memory to the place where I met him at the cross, where they set my own cross off for me. I remember. I can tell you the message I heard. I can tell you what happened to me that day. I can recount the whole story. Can you recount yours? If you don't have a story, you don't have a... Give me... Somebody let me finish it. Rhyme and big quotable quotes. Oh God, hallelujah. You have gotten it. I can see the revelation on your eyes. Amen. Praise God. You need to have a story. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. That John that we read. Verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, he said we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That means you avoided the reason why Jesus even came. If you say, I'm not a sinner, I have no sin. Why should I repent? Listen to me. The reason why men are going to hell primarily is because they did nothing about the sacrifice of Jesus for them. Primarily, that's the reason. Every reason, go out, everyone you see that we get to hell, they did nothing about that sacrifice. It's about that sacrifice. When you say, Lord, I just thought that I had this problem with this habit. That habit was the one that was giving me problem. Why did you not return to the cross where the blood was shed? That is where it comes from. That's the platform on which Christianity is built. Amen. Jesus did not become the Christ by anointing. He became the Christ by sacrifice. Amen. That is it. So when he said you are believing and you are confessing that he was the Christ. He became the Christ because he was once the Lamb. Amen. And so he said, if we shall say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, self-delusion, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. Hear him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, past tense, we have not sinned. How can you say I'm a sinner? I'm not a sinner. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. Are you aware that nice is not a fruit of the Spirit? It's not a fruit of the Spirit. We make him what? A liar. You have told the whole creation that God is a liar. So you make him a liar and his word is not in us. Praise God. Next week, I guess we're going to talk about sin and all those things. Our pastor has been talking about it on the past few weeks on Tuesday. Sin and appetite for death. You need to come and hear. Because I'm not going to repeat all the things that you've said. It's not my concern. If you didn't come to class, would that stop the lecturer from giving certain reading exams? He won't say, but sir, I didn't come to class when you said this, when you were teaching us. I heard of lecturers that would just come to class when they doing convocation. No, convocation is a time for people to go and play, enjoy with your friends. The lecturer will come to class and he'll be teaching an empty class. As far as it's concerned, he has taught you. And I can bet you, exam is coming from that. If you're not in class that day, you are getting exam questions from that question. For that one. So that you are not there, that you are saying God is a liar, that you are not attesting to his testimony and agree what he has said and agree with the way he wants you to be saved. Some people believe that, just like I explained this morning, some people believe that if they can build a church or a cathedral and help God's servants, they were cool. Bad mistake. Those are works. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let me round up. Luke 12, verse 8. Two more scriptures and I'll round up. I say unto you, now, let us assume you have given your life to Jesus. No, it's not possible to give your life to Jesus and take it back. Praise God. It's possible now. For example, I give my wife my phone. I want to just manage, just my. And after I was, where's my phone? Give my phone. That's how we did for Jesus. So we give Jesus our lives. I say, bring it back. It's my life. And take it back. How do I know that people do that? Look at what he said there. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before who? Before who? Many of you, after you've made your confession that Jesus, you are my Lord, your mouth went into auto shut. You stopped talking. You didn't tell people about it. If you will confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Look at verse 9. There are some scriptures where I don't like them. This part of them. Praise God. But if thou deny me before men, what will happen? It shall be denied before the angels of God. Many of you, even after you have said, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, I've given my life to him, but you have not stood to tell creation that this confession I made in the secret place, I want to declare it outside. Let me ask you a question. Who among you will accept this? You marry a person. You marry. You are a man or you are a woman. You marry. And your spouse, when you both got outside, we said, please meet my sister. Will you accept that? Or meet my brother? Or just meet my friend? Now, is she not my friend? She's my friend. But if I introduce her as my friend, Ileyen will not contain us. Even though you say my wife don't talk, she will talk. Praise God. I don't know whether you understand me. What have I done? What have I just done? I've denied her. I've denied her. I don't know her. It's just my friend. We don't know each other now. I call Jorini now. Can't I carry a woman in my car? I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. Said if you will deny me before men, even though we did our wedding, how many 20 what years ago? Sir? O ti pe 35. Ojo ti lo. Praise God. And then sometimes I look at the mirror and I just wonder, I don't understand how time has flown. Many of you are looking at me, your turn is coming. Hey, your turn is coming. When you two will start doing, praise God. Hallelujah. He said, Pastor said it that day. Praise God. Where did I stop? My wife, Abby. Denial. Do you know, for those of you that want to marry, you know we don't come outside to put together a church wedding because we just feel that we should, this brother and one sister there should just come and come to the front and start doing something. The public celebration is a celebration of a decision two of them took where? In the closet. He has publicly come to the whole congregation of God and to the angels of God present and to the Trinity present to say to the whole world that the decision I made inside, I am not afraid to make it now. I don't know whether you understand me. It's making a public confession. How will it be when we ask, will you have this woman as a lawfully wedded wife to hold the thing and to keep and everything? And he said, I do not. Wala Daniel. We get that rule. Please, Pastor, if anybody, Pastor, let us have a protocol. And brothers, like Bejade and Bodie, they will bring him back. And then we repeat. Praise God. What are you looking at? Bill is the first one. Oh, like, yeah. Once we print program, no going back. Make your mind up before we print program. I'm telling my own now. On Agbie, by force, by fire, we are wed. Amen. You can't deny the faith now. It's too late. But when you step out there and say, are you a believer? Like ye emike. I don't know Jesus. So you've denied him. So it's just for the personal and internal or whatever that you did in church, you must step out there and make the same confession. You know, I don't want them to just, I don't want them to be insulting me. I want to show myself. I want them to know me by just looking at my words. So if I'm, do you remember brother Daddy Isaac? He said his wife was his girlfriend, or no, sister. It was a sister. So the king stood one day and was watching from the window. The way they were on target. He said, family members don't do this kind of thing. They go and call her Isaac. This person is your wife. Like his father said, I told you guys that. I began to scratch his head. You can't say they will know by my behavior. Yes, we want to confirm your confession by your behavior, not your behavior for your confession. I don't know whether you understand that process. You made a confession, then we start looking at you. Whether your lifestyle will agree with your confession. But you must make the confession outside and tell the whole world, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Will I make the choir?
All right, thank you. Praise God. What am I trying to say, brethren, is that there are processes for salvation. If you don't follow the processes, you may enter that place and you may not have a wedding garment on. Because they will be the one. Heaven will be the one. The king will be the one to give you the wedding garments. Let me close with this. Hallelujah. I promise I will close with this. Acts 1:14. Salvation is personal. But here. And these all continue with what? In one accord. How many accord? One. In what? In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Now, if you go to chapter 2, I want to read chapter 2. Praise God. Where that's where they gave their life to Jesus. Look for it. Acts 2. Okay. Can you go next verse, 38? No. But go down. I said 38. I said go down. You went back to 37. Is 38 the last verse? And then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day were added unto them about how many? 3,000 souls. Verse 42. Here. And what did they do? What did they do? And fellowship. And if you are not doing these things, your salvation is doubtful. It's very doubtful. If you were genuinely saved, something, a working in your heart will compel you to do these things. If you are not doing it, it's a proof that your salvation has question mark. It's a proof. You were just emotionally stirred up. You did not make a commitment. Everyone who genuinely got born again always desired to fellowship. We always desire to learn. We always desire to join themselves to the brethren. When it comes a problem for you, something is wrong with your heart. You need God to visit you. Can we bow our heads? You need a visitation. No pretense this morning. Check your heart. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. This morning again, I'm calling upon you to examine your heart. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a story? When I ask you, how did you come into the kingdom? What would be your story? Did you follow the processes? That man entered the banquet hall without having a wedding garment on. He did not follow the process. He assumed. Are you assuming? I want you today to hear that Jesus came and he died. And on the third day he rose again according to the gospel. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the gospel. He died and he rose. Do you believe? Will you confess? Will you follow? You were saved to follow. You were not saved to continue to live your ordinary lives as it was before. Talk to the Lord this morning. If you are not sure, raise your right hand. I want to pray with you. He said, whoever sins will remit is remitted. Whoever sins will retain is retained. If you are not sure, you've not made that decision, you've not made that confession, you've not followed as you ought to follow, you've not declared to creation that I have decided to follow him. I will want this to be Paul said to the Ephesian church, I've gone from house to house teaching you, opening to you everything that concerns the kingdom, so that I would not have any man's blood upon my hands. Don't throw away this opportunity. We never can tell. Settle this matter with God. Father, I thank you. You that know the hearts of all men, I ask for mercy. The blood was not shed in vain. Let it not be so over our lives in the name of Jesus. Let the blood cleanse us and let it speak for us, even in the day of judgment, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us by your Spirit, that we can stand by the confessions you want us to make in the sight of men, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.